950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson here today. Back after a little holiday break for Thanksgiving. I had a wonderful Thanksgiving myself. And Brett, you probably didn't get your Thanksgiving ribs that your dad wanted to serve, but we went out for barbecue this afternoon, so you got a little today.
I didn't think of that. We did. Yeah, we had a little lunch there with Chad talking about AM 950 and some other things. And yeah, I got my ribs. Great place over at EP we went to.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking before we went is I'm down for anything except something Thanksgiving-like because I've eaten the leftovers like four times now for a meal. And I'm loving it, but it's like that's not what I should go out for. So we got some ribs today, which were delicious.
Yeah, you can only have so much turkey and gravy and pumpkin pie and all that stuff.
It is great, though, having a ton of leftovers at the house. I've eaten a whole apple pie in one sitting this weekend. but, yeah, this is what I want to talk about first. Brett, did you have any uncomfortable political discussions this holiday?
No, it was a pretty small group for myself, and most of my immediate family is either they're not into politics or they lean left, so no uncomfortable conversations on my end.
I had fairly similar holiday, very polite. A couple things got brought up, but it was easy. It didn't disrupt our entire family meal. But it got me thinking that if you do have to encounter this, let's say you have a very conservative relative who knows where you stand and wants to bring this up during a holiday dinner, I have some tips on how to figure out how to proceed with this because you don't want to ruin a nice family gathering and you want to decide, is it even worth going down this rabbit hole with someone like that that disagrees with you? So I was thinking that if you've got a very conservative relative, start with climate change and just pose the question like, do you believe that climate change is occurring and that it's contributed by humans changing our climate and adding to global warming? And if they say no, I mean, that's a good place to just stop because you know that you're not going to convince them. If they don't even believe it's occurring, why go down it? But if they respond with something like, well, yes, but I don't believe we should be doing anything about it, at least they're reasonable. At least they have some principles where they're coming from, and it's not just believing anything that's thrown at them. But if they don't believe that climate change is even occurring, ask them if they feel that cigarettes smoking is bad for your health. And I'm sure you're going to get, well, yeah, absolutely. And then ask, well, why do you believe that? And they'll say all the research and science backs that. It's a well-known fact that smoking cigarettes is bad for your health. Well, then you can throw at them that, well, more scientists agree that climate change is occurring than that cigarettes are bad for your health. It's about 95% to 97%, so pretty much identical, but more believe that climate change is occurring. So that's a way to zing them, at least, and get them to think about how they're even approaching this or what information they're using. How do they come to these conclusions? Because, I mean, that's pretty easy to see right there. But yeah, with climate change, today marks a significant day. Or not today, in a couple weeks, sorry, December 12th. 2015 is when the UN Climate Change Conference was able to reach a deal. So this is going to be in the news a lot the upcoming weeks. And we have the Trump administration trying to bury a report that came out. But recent findings have shown that we only have 12 years to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 45%, according to the October report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The feat, it admits, would require rapid, far-reaching societal transformation. And if we fail, coastal cities will be inundated with food shortages, and the damage will cost $54 trillion by 2040. when babies this year will be old enough to graduate from college. And three of the main points from that October report are that hot weather is more common, cold weather more rare. Climate change has doubled the devastation from the fires in the Southwest, and rising sea levels will necessitate mass migration, and coastal cities aren't doing enough. So, like Florida, for example, is easy to see that the sea level will rise and the associated problems there will occur very quickly. So I always think about the Republicans of the future and how fast they will change their tune on this once we have this mass migration of climate change refugees that need to move. And that I always think is going to be an interesting dynamic that, well, where were you 20, 30, 40 years ago on this? Because the time to take action was yesterday, but we have to do something, and it's not looking good in the White House. He hasn't pulled out of the Paris Accord, but has threatened several times. And the rest of the world looks to the United States to lead on this issue, really. And any backtracking is dangerous for how the rest of the world is going to follow through with their plans with climate change. But there's a clear path to curbing the catastrophic damage that can occur by rapidly phasing out carbon-intensive fuels, which requires changes on a scale which there is no documented historic precedent. So we really need to be breaking ground on how we're approaching this and truly make societal changes to everyone's life. But we're at a point right now where those changes can be minor and it doesn't have to affect our daily life that much by just making some new regulation that every household in America needs to abide by, which is limits on how much personal use you can have, and also limiting corporations, which are contributing greatly to this. Well, let's go to Gary in Minneapolis. I always like what Gary has to say. How are you doing, Gary?
Good, good. You know, the Republican outliers on climate change, the world's outcast on climate change, you know, they're holding back everything ever since Rotten Romney pulled the solar panels off the White House and on did what Carter did. Anyways, they got it all planned. See, they're going to, their billions that they stole from us, the billionaire Republican funders, they're going to pay for a big bubble to live in, and then they're going to take care of the politician puppets that they went along with them, and they're going to take care of themselves, and you know, the rest of us, we're on our own. So,
all right, thanks for the call, Gary. And if you'd like to comment on this, our phone number is 952-946-6205 here at AM 950. Give us a call or anything else you want to talk about. Something else that caught my eye today is Trump suggests that the government of the United States should start its own worldwide TV network. And this is an outcry from how he's feeling about CNN portraying him unfairly. But you know what I think? Let's do it, Donnie. Like, you, Brett, just looked at me kind of concerned, but okay.
You want Trump government TV?
But that would only be for 2 years. So it would be a mess when it started. But afterwards, we would have in place a nationalized broadcasting network, which would definitely get regulated into being an actual legitimate good source. So yes, it would have some growing pains, but I think it's something we should go, no, Trump, don't start that. And then we'll get a great broadcasting network for it, like the BBC. So it's something that I'm secretly in favor for.
Maybe we could even convince him not to air propaganda. Just tell him, you know what, Donald, we love The Apprentice so much. Just show replays of The Apprentice 24/7. Oh, you don't need any propaganda because we loved your show so much.
Think of how distracting this would be for him. This would be all of his focus would go towards this TV network. So it's like, yeah, kind of go that direction, Donald. Focus on that. You're so good on TV. But I think it'd be a great thing long term that would backfire on him. He would get the immediate benefit of having his own little propaganda network that he's in charge of. But I really do feel like it would evolve into a good thing that he's not thinking about. He just wants his immediate propaganda network.
What if we just turned his whole staff into The Apprentice? That's how he interviews his staff people. Oh, that can just take up his entire time.
He has a firing every week, so he's got the format down.
Yeah.
That would work well.
Just bring in 12 people every week. You're going to interview to be the Secretary of Defense.
The
that
Apprentice?
That's pretty scary to think about.
On Trump TV. Yeah, but, well, you'd be firing some of these clowns, and we'd get to all watch it front seat with some popcorn.
Especially if Stephen Miller was on the line to get fired, or who else? Who else could we put up there to be fired?
Let's see.
Sanders could be up there.
It'd be great if somehow two of his kids got on there and he had to make a decision between the two of them. Oh. Eric or Junior, which one? Well, that would be great ratings, so that's how we convince him to do that one.
You know, sometimes he fired two people at one time. Maybe would fire both of his sons.
Not a bad move. So, yeah, this is something I'm in for. Go ahead. Start your government TV network, Trump. Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, I will cover some of the news of the day here on AM 950, the progressive source of Minnesota. Our phone number is 952-946-6205, so give us a call with anything you want to talk about.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Veterans can face unique challenges that lead to difficulty finding or keeping a home. VA is here to help veterans secure safe, stable housing. If you or a veteran you know is homeless or at immediate risk of becoming homeless, call 877-424-3838.
The specialists at Warner's Deli had a blasting Black Friday. So much fun, we decided to keep the party going with guaranteed Black Friday appliance savings on top brand dishwashers, laundry pairs, ranges, refrigerators, and complete kitchen packages at Warner's Deli.
There are lots of ways to stay comfortable in a Minnesota winter. Hot Cocoa Warm Socks and Standard's Winter Comfort Sale, where you can save up to $2,090 on a brand new 96% energy efficient furnace. There's also great deals on a variety of other furnaces and boilers. Don't wait. Unlike winter, these deals end November 30th. Learn more about Standard's Winter Comfort Sale at standardheatingdeals.com/radio. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. With the end of 2018 in sight, it's time to clear out the remaining 2018 Toyotas. Rudy Luther has huge discounts on the most popular small SUV, the RAV4, and Toyota is offering a $3,000 rebate on 2018s through November. If you want a larger SUV, try the 2018 Highlander with 0% financing for 60 months. You'll also get the Holiday Station gas discount for 3 years with purchase of a new Rudy Luther vehicle. November is Govember, so get going over to Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
The Apprentice theme on Trump's new Washington, D.C. television network, Trump TV, broadcasting to the entire world.
Who gets fired tonight, Ivanka or Sarah Sanders?
Oh, man, yeah, I'm for it. Go ahead, Donnie, start your TV network. Well, Jim from St. Paul wanted to talk about people leaving the Republican Party. Jim?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say that I enjoy your station so much. You guys are wonderful, and I was saying, you know, I think the right wing is about to take a big dive in this country, and I think it would be great if you could get a more powerful signal than you got, because I know a lot of people listen, and it'd be a lot more if we could get a little bigger signal.
Yeah, that's something I would like to. Thankfully, we're growing with the popularity of this format under Donald Trump and people wanting to be able to hear news critical of him. But
I tell you, I go to a lot of garage sales and stuff in the summertime, and when I, you know, talk to people, I always tell them to turn into AM 950, and I'm sure some of them have.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and I feel the same way. I'm a big fan as well as working here. But do you have thoughts on people leaving the Republican Party?
I really think there's a lot of them. You know, if nothing else, in disgust, what have they got to be proud of? That man has no accomplishments at all, none. And if you point to one, I'll just say that was Obama started that. And Trump has done nothing but try to ruin this country. That's why Putty put him in power.
Well, thanks.
Putty is Putin, by the way.
Putty.
I like that, yeah.
Thanks for the call, Jim. And I do agree with your sentiments both on the station and on people might be leaving the Republican Party. And where do they go? Well, John Kasich says he's very serious considering a 2020 run for president. So would that be a third party or would he try and primary Trump in the election?
Isn't Flake supposed to primary him as well, or is Flake going to do what he always does and threaten a primary and then Flake out at the last second?
Yeah, I haven't heard that. This Sunday, though, John Kasich appeared on TV and came really close to announcing his 2020 bid, saying he has earnest conversations about the prospect of engaging in another campaign and is ready to make the move. But it would be interesting to see what would happen because typically the Republican Party has a lot of solidarity and everyone can come around whoever their candidate is. Where on the left, we tend to fragment more and it's more of a challenge to get behind one single person. So this movement of the less Trumpian part of the Republican Party will be an interesting dynamic over the next few years. And post-Trump also, how the party functions and what is its identity. Because I feel like it could be a serious identity crisis. And like the Democrats had with Barack Obama, when the party was built around a figure of tremendous charisma and personality, and when he was gone, the party didn't have a concrete personality that could transfer to another candidate. Trump is very charismatic, too, in a different way. So they might have some identity problems going forward.
I agree with that completely. When, as you said, when Obama was gone, Democrats had problems. They had problems when he wasn't on the ballot in his midterms. And I think that's exactly what we saw with Donald Trump as well. I mean, those two are polar opposites, but they are very similar in that they are figure-driven when it comes to their political party.
I mean, because it's really hard to nail down what the principles of Trump are, because he's very flaky all the time. And even in the primary and the debates, he sounded a lot different than the rest of the field and just answered questions in his own unique way. And that changes day to day, too, and what he feels. So, yeah, it's a tough thing to transfer, I think. But, Brett, I've got some good news for you. I don't know if you've caught this, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg returns to the bench after healing from cracked ribs.
great news because we unfortunately are going to have a Republican Senate, so we're in trouble if anyone else retires.
Yeah, I just remember when I broke the news to you that Kennedy was retiring and how devastated you were. And this was a scare a couple weeks ago, but Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg returned to the bench on Monday today, just weeks after suffering three cracked ribs in a fall. The 85-year-old justice sat for the first oral argument since she fell in her Supreme Court office on November 7th. According to ABC News, after a brief hospital stay, Ginsburg returned to her office to her vigorous workouts with her personal trainer just days later. She has not missed a single day of oral arguments in her 25 years on the court. In 2012, she cracked two ribs but did not miss any time in the court. She also survived two bouts of cancer. The justice, who has been described as tough as nails, has become a pop culture icon in addition to being the oldest member of the Supreme Court. After her fall, supporters nationwide jokingly offered to donate their ribs to her, highlighting concerns that she may not serve the remaining 5 years that she has promised. But yeah, very good news. That was scary a couple weeks ago because you never know when someone's in their 80s, 85 years old, how well you'll be able to heal and if there will be any other damage. But it sounds like she's back to her workouts, which I saw on the Colbert show. He went and did the workouts with her, and that was pretty hilarious. But yeah, she's a tough old lady that hopefully can make it out till there's another Democrat to appoint her replacement.
She could totally outwork Donald Trump as well. I can't even picture Trump doing those workouts.
Yeah.
Even though he claims to be such a manly man and a tough guy.
And there's another show for his TV network.
RBG versus DT.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Start that network, Donald. And then another story that happened this weekend is one person is in custody after a vehicle crashed through the gate at the governor's mansion on Summit Avenue last night. The Minnesota State Patrol said the incident happened about 9:30 when a person drove a vehicle into the swinging steel gate in front of the governor's residence. It wasn't clear if the crash was an accident or intentional. I think they're leaning towards it was an accident, but State Patrol spokesperson Gordon Shanks said that in a statement that the driver was arrested at the scene and did not get onto the grounds of the governor's mansion. The crash severely damaged the hinged doorway gates to the mansion, and the state patrol blocked the open doorway with large SUVs and orange traffic cones after the crash. But Governor Dayton was in the residence at the time of the incident, but never in danger, a spokesperson said. But that would be kind of scary for him, looking out his window and seeing a bunch of flashing police lights and a busted down gate. And Mark Dayton has been in and out of that hospital too himself, so that's kind of a scary thing to have to deal with, but it doesn't look like there was any negative connotations that it was an accident. That's what I gathered. Have you heard anything otherwise?
I haven't heard anything else, but yeah, you always do get kind of nervous when you hear about these because, of course, the lieutenant, I hate bringing this up, but the lieutenant governor, of course, is a Republican, and I would not put it past them if he were to have to step down for some reason to call, we need to call a special session and pass a bunch of right-wing legislation.
That's a very good point and true concern that even though there's only about a month and a half, 2 months till Tim Walz gets in, that is a very clear danger, and Mark Dayton hasn't been in the best health, so we could have a little government overtake in the next few months. But let's take another break. If you want to call the show, our phone number is 952-946-6205. We have open phone lines on anything you want to talk about. But this is Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones same day, 7 days a week.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low around 10. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 19. Wednesday, snow with a high near 23. And Thursday, cloudy with a high around 32. Located in downtown St. Paul, Burger Mo's is the perfect neighborhood gathering spot before or after XL Energy events. They offer 20 fresh, never frozen varieties, as well as delicious apps, soups, salad, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Also, make sure you try their Unburgers. More at BurgerMo's.com.
Grips on your ways, front way, back way. You know that I don't play. Streets not
safe, AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here today. We have open phone lines. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. So give us a call with anything you want to talk about. But 18 years ago today, George W. Bush was certified the winner of Florida's electoral votes, and this handed him the presidency after a several-week recount. It was certified on this date. Despite George W. Bush losing the popular vote and some shenanigans in Florida, well, we faced a similar situation this year, too, with their governor and Senate races, where both the Republicans were declared the winner after recounts. But Florida also enacted a new law that will go into effect next election, restoring the voting rights to 1.2 million felons. So Florida has always had razor-thin margins for elections, and it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic changes things. But a new report today finds that conservative Republicans are the least supportive of making it easier for everyone to vote. So 2/3 of Americans say everything possible should be done to make it easier for every citizen to vote, but Republicans, especially conservative Republicans, are less likely to hold this view, according to a new Pew Research Center survey. Republicans' ideology divides them, where Democrats, both independent-leaning and conservative-leaning, would still overwhelmingly support making everything possible to make it easier to vote. But the conservative and liberal-leaning Republicans are split fairly significantly. Nearly half of the GOP-leaning voters say everything should be done, but 51% say that citizens should have to prove that they want to vote by registering ahead of time. And about one-third of conservative Republicans favor doing everything possible to make it easier to vote, but a large majority favor that both you should be registered beforehand and that ID laws are good, and just basically that more roadblocks in the way, things like not restoring voting rights for felons. But it's pretty clearly cut that most of the country supports making it easier for everyone. It's just that chunk of conservative Republicans who don't favor this. And if you want an example for what it would look like if we put stricter voting laws up, the movie Starship Troopers shows that voting franchise was limited to only veterans. And a veteran was not necessarily someone who had been a soldier, but rather someone who had volunteered for a stint in 2-year federal service. So this was a movie in the 90s that was based off of a book that showed what kind of space fascism would look like. Kind of like how Star Wars did, but this was heavily focused on the military. And whether a soldier or not, the service jobs to become franchised to vote were all fairly hazardous. After retiring from the federal service, you could vote or hold public office. And it focuses mostly on the soldiers. But the argument was that the responsibility of voting should be reserved for those who have demonstrated an understanding of individual sacrifice for the greater good, i.e. voting is not about getting something for myself, but about getting something for everyone else. But critics have often equated this with fascism or military dictatorship. The 1997 movie Starship Troopers was perhaps the greatest critique along the lines, as it showed the leaders as being active duty military officers wearing remarkably Nazi-like uniforms. But eligibility to vote in the United States is established both through the federal constitution and by state laws, and several constitutional amendments, like the 15th, 19th, and 26th, specifically require that voting rights cannot be abridged on the account of race, color, previous condition of servitude, sex, or age for those above 18 years old. So the Constitution is not with these conservative Republicans when it comes to making voting easier for everyone. And unfortunately for them, the more people that vote, the better the Democratic Party does in elections, showing that these policies are more popular with Americans, giving them the chance to show their support for causes that they believe in. But here in Minnesota, we have great voting laws. We have the highest turnout in the country. We have the highest turnout in any congressional district here in CD3. And Minnesota, as I call it, is the true blue state of the country. Minnesota has given its electoral vote to Democratic candidates in every presidential election since 1976. That's 11 straight and the longest blue streak in the country. And you can dismiss that the longest streak is a bit of a fluke because of in 1984, our own Walter Mondale was the Democratic nominee, and he carried just one state, Minnesota. And my favorite joke about that, too, is on The Simpsons, they have a commercial. It's a flashback episode, and Homer's watching TV, and it's a Walter Mondale commercial, and he goes, "Where's the beef?" And Homer cracks up, "Where's the beef? No wonder he won Minnesota."
Nice. Simpsons always come through, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking, too, of last week, the politics of Seinfeld characters, if they were on today. I might do a politics of Simpsons characters and figure out where each of them fall, because I have some ideas on that. But
you think, just initially as a teaser, would a Homer be a Trump supporter?
Yes, I think he would, because Homer would listen to the Rush Limbaugh equivalent on there, and he gets Homer's a great guy, but he gets tricked easily, and he'd fall for the Trump tricks.
He'd be all over InfoWars, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, so little teaser. We'll get into that a different show. But back to Minnesota being the true blue state. It's referred to in like 538, another political commentary, as a purple state. But those in the know about Minnesota can safely say that it is a true blue state. I mean, with the DFL's dominance in Senate races, they have won 17 compared to 8 for Republicans since the merger in 1944 of the Democrats and the Farmer Labor Party. And in the House, it took a little longer for the DFL to establish a dominance, but since the 1968 election, the Republicans have won a majority of the 8 seats only a handful of times, whereas the DFL continuously has a 5-3 or 6-2 advantage pretty much every election. And for the statewide constitutional offices, before Keith Ellison won the office of Minnesota Attorney General this month, DFL had held this office for 60 of the last 64 years. So since the 50s, there's only been one Republican attorney general. And before Steve Simon was reelected as Minnesota Secretary of State, the DFL had already held this office for 36 of the last 44 years. So it's not only presidential elections, but statewide and for our Senate and congressional seats, Democrats win big in Minnesota. So I think it's kind of the shining example of a blue state. But right in the heartland, where most of the blue states are coastal, we're the one true blue state here in the Midwest. And what's interesting, too, is I've been looking around at the electoral map, and with how things have shaped up the past couple years, Democrats are pretty much guaranteed a win in the White House as long as they can win Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, which all have historically been a part of the blue wall of consistent blue states, which they did vote for Trump in 2016, and that is how he ended up winning. But the new kind of swing states are those three. Four, if you count Minnesota, but we've never really voted Republican. But the path to victory is the Republicans have to flip one of those. It's no longer the Ohio or Florida that is necessary to win the White House, because both of those can go Republican now. And as long as you hold those three Midwest states, it's a Democratic win. So although the Electoral College has bit us twice in the past 20 years, it's really favorable for Democrats moving forward.
You know when it will change? When Texas becomes a purple state. Oh, Republicans will be the first ones, or they'll be all over abolishing the Electoral
College.
That's
very true, because that is 100% needed for them. And just if you give out all the standard states that always vote blue or always vote red, the deficit that the Democrats have to flip is only about 40 electoral seats, where the Republicans have to overcome 100 every single election. So even though the map looks kind of overwhelmingly red, it is not favorable for the Republicans. And it's just something I've been looking at lately and just realized how a couple of things have changed recently, like Colorado has become pretty solidly blue. And even in 2000, had George Bush not been able to, he pulled an upset in New Hampshire, which is only 4 votes, but had he not pulled that over, Al Gore would have had 271 votes. So that one kind of fluke loss in the East was what caused the election. Florida wouldn't have even been an issue. It would have been a razor-thin win, but because they lost New Hampshire, it came down to Florida, which 18 years ago today was awarded to George W. Bush, making him the 43rd president of the United States.
I think you bring up a good point, though, with the Electoral College, because Trump essentially ran the table. That's exactly what he did to win the election. And you're right. I mean, they have a much tougher path when you really look at it, when you talk about Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. And as we said, if all these other red states start to go purple, you could lose the Midwest and still win the presidency if you're a Democrat.
Yeah, and even ahead of Texas, what we should look out for is Georgia. Georgia is really moving blue quick. The only thing is they have such high amounts of voter suppression down there that that's the toughest part to overcome. But I think that it's at a closer, like, 50-50 split right now if it's a fair election, where and it's only benefiting Democrats in the long term, that's going to be the first of the solid South for the Republicans to flip. And then Texas is coming soon, which you're right. After that happens, we won't have an Electoral College anymore.
And even if the Democrats aren't winning it consistently, if you force Republicans to have to spend resources to defend it, that's a massive blow to
them. That's true. Yeah, and that was what was big about Beto O'Rourke's campaign, is putting Texas on the table, and now Republicans are going to have to put resources in these places, taking it out of the battleground states. And when he won Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, it was razor-thin margins, and that's why the polling was all off, is they didn't account for how close it would be in those states. And why the polls actually were pretty correct in predicting that Hillary Clinton would win by 2%, which she did, they just did not expect those certain votes, which was a minuscule amount, a percentage of the popular vote, to cause such a seismic shift in the electorate. But let's go to Austin in Bloomington before we take a break. Hey, Austin.
Hi.
You want to talk about global warming?
Well, yeah. When you were talking about talking to family members at Thanksgiving, trying to convince someone who doesn't believe in global warming, one way that I have convinced a few people is bringing the argument down to more of a level that people kind of deal on a daily basis, which is arguing like how does a car heat up while it sits out in the sun, and arguing that the glass is like our atmosphere, and that is something that a lot of people can understand. And if you put more carbon, which you then can explain how carbon works as like a blanket of gas, you can kind of help them understand that you can take a small idea, extrapolate it to a bigger problem, and that's what we have going on. And I think that's a great way of trying to help convince or teach people the conditions of global warming.
Yeah, that is great. I love where your head is at, and I think us on the left have to constantly be thinking of tactical ways to approach this to be influential to other people. So I appreciate that you called and shared that with us. But we are going to take a break. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. We've got open phone lines if you want to talk about anything. But we'll be right back here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ+ is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ+ person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life can benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, the creative life.
Are creative people simply born that way?
Or is creativity something that can be taught?
Surely some people are more naturally creative than others.
No, everyone has a small spark of creativity in them.
Not me.
Oh, come on, I hear you write a mean poem.
Oh, remind me to show you my ode to a toenail clipping.
The creative life, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
In the process of planning your next event, consider D'Amico Catering. Their team brings extensive experience and knowledge to the table to ensure that your event runs smoothly. With over 20 years of event planning and culinary experience, D'Amico has established their reputation as the Twin Cities' premier caterer. They've been trusted to carry out numerous weddings, corporate functions, and nonprofit fundraisers. D'Amico has the right staff to ensure your event is perfectly executed every time. More at D'AmicoCatering.com.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson here, and we're taking your phone calls at 952-946-6205, so give us a call, or send us an email at commentam950radio.com, anything you'd like to say. But thought you were done with election season? Not so fast. Tomorrow, Tuesday, in Mississippi is the final U.S. Senate race for the midterms. They have a rule there where it goes into a runoff if no one receives over 50% of the votes. So this will determine whether Republicans have 52 or 53 seats in the Senate come January. It's the second round of voting in the special election that was scheduled after Republican Thad Cochran resigned in April. We're not forecasting this. Or this is 538 saying that they're not forecasting this runoff. But nonpartisan handicappers rate the Republicans as favorites. Catch up on everything you need to know on 538. But their polls are saying that it's very likely that the Republican will win, but it's fairly close. About 54 to 48% in one. Another has it at 50% to 40%. But what you have to keep in mind in this election is it's going to have an extremely low turnout. And seeing how motivated Democrats were in the midterms, there's a real shot just by the chance that not a lot of Republicans are going to be showing up for this. And there's a chance that the Democrats do show up as in a big a force as they did in states like Georgia, Alabama, Texas, which typically are very safe states for the Republicans. And just next door, Doug Jones won the Senate earlier in 2017
yeah,
was when
he won. Yeah,
it was
last Christmas, wasn't it? Better yeah. This time of year?
Yeah, it was cold, I remember. But yeah, that was a major upset, and Alabama now has a Democratic senator. Although that was, again, another special election. So Doug Jones will be up for re-election in 2020, just 2.5 years after being elected. But it's possible. So it'll be interesting to see. Maybe a giant upset will occur in Mississippi tomorrow night. But yeah, I've kind of written this one off. I haven't put too much hope in it when I was monitoring what happened in Florida. and where was the other one? Arizona?
Arizona ended up going blue.
Yeah.
As well as Nevada, but the ones that went red were Indiana, turned out poorly, as well as Florida, Missouri, and North Dakota. Those were the four that flipped to Republican.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe we'll get some good news. It'll be interesting nonetheless to see how much the dynamic is changing in the South, because we've gotten a lot of interesting numbers that things are shifting, and it'll be I'm curious to what Mississippi's like and if it will ever be in play, or if the right candidate ever ran, if it's a toss-up. Like, because we had Beto O'Rourke in Texas, like I mentioned earlier. He almost beat Ted Cruz, which seemed like an impossible feat before he entered the race. Or even when I first started monitoring it a couple of years ago, it seemed like such a far-off premise that Texas would ever have a Democratic senator, because Texas was known as basically the Minnesota for Republicans, the reddest of red states, the one they could always count on, and their largest electoral state. It goes New York, California, Texas. And so Texas is huge for the Republican Party. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on in the Mississippi Senate runoff tomorrow night. There's not a lot of evidence that this race matches the Doug Jones, Roy Moore race, but at very similar demographics. But Randy in St. Cloud wanted to talk about Doug Jones in Alabama. Randy?
Well, I just wanted to point out that Doug Jones did beat an accused pedophile and probably won't get reelected unless they are dumb enough to run Roy Moore again.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't get reelected because he votes like a Republican.
Who, Doug Jones?
Yeah.
Doug Jones surprisingly hasn't voted like a Republican. I'm going to disagree with you there. Though he's not. No.
He voted for the let's take apart the Dodd-Frank. He was the one that was the flip vote on that.
Yeah, well, of course, there are examples, but if you look at his record, it's been surprisingly liberal, and people have compared him to being more of a Massachusetts-type senator than one from Alabama, where he really isn't having the same record as, like, Joe Manchin in West Virginia.
I admit I have not looked at his voting record, but I know right out of the chute one of the big votes that he was in on and was the deciding vote was
Dodd-Frank.
Watering down Dodd-Frank.
Well, thank you, Randy, for the call. We're just at the end of the show. But yeah, I encourage you to look it out because it's actually much better than you would expect. But we're out of time today. This is Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.